This morning, I have the privilege of closing this great four-part sermon series. It ended up being over 5 weeks because we weren't here. One of those Sundays when it snowed a lot overnight into Sunday. But this four-part series that we have been working on discipleship, on mission and vision here at First United Methodist Church. And if you've been here for the duration of this series, you know that this is something that Pastor Arlene and myself are very passionate about. We are really excited about what 2019 is going to bring for us as we continue to seek God's vision for this church and for our lives personally. Now, we've been talking a lot about seeking God's vision and what might God's vision look like for us as we venture into the future as a church together here in Muncie. And something, a vision is just another word that to me, when I hear the words God's vision, I simply think of God's will. What is God's will or God's preferred future for us here as a congregation? Who is God calling us to be? What is God's vision or God's will for our church? And for you personally as well, I think that's a two-part question. When we talk about God's vision or God's will, what is God's vision for me personally in my faith journey as a disciple or follower of Jesus Christ? And then what is God's vision or God's preferred future for this church corporately together as the body of Christ? And so we've been challenging you to think about those questions and then also laying out a framework as we move forward into this new year, 2019, and into the future, where it is that we feel God is calling us to be. And I'll be honest, this really isn't rocket science. We opened up the Bible and got into God's Word and said, here's who God's calling us to be, and here's who God is calling each of us individually to be, and then corporately as a church, here's who God is calling us to be disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our world, to be followers, deeply committed followers of Jesus Christ. And then as we do that personally, the church becomes this discipleship-driven church, that we are driven primarily by this sense of becoming followers of Jesus Christ and making, as the Great Commission, Matthew 28 says, go therefore and also make disciples of other people. And so that's what we see as our vision. And then on the screen, you see sort of the steps that we have laid out that we feel are going to get us there, centering around this church's mission statement. So how do we become disciples of Jesus Christ? How does this church become a discipleship-driven church? One step at a time, right? By taking one faithful step at a time. And some of those key words that you have heard here in this church are by celebrating new life together in Jesus Christ, by growing deeper in our faith through studying God's Word, through being actively engaged in small groups, by giving our best selves to God, all of who we are, surrendering all of who we are to God, not just a little bit of ourselves, not just what we can afford to give without it costing us a whole lot or making us too uncomfortable, but giving all of ourselves and our best selves to God, our time, our talents, and our treasures. And then finally, reaching wider for Jesus Christ in service, in love to each other, to this church, and ultimately to our community at large. Those are the missional steps of how we get there. How do we become disciples? How do we become followers? That's great to have that vision. This is who we want to become. But without some practical steps, I think it just stays sort of in this grand idea. Yep, that sounds good, Pastor, but how are we going to get there? And so I think these are some really practical steps of leading and guiding you individually in thinking, hey, what's my next faithful step in this journey of discipleship that will then ultimately affect us as a church corporately in taking our next faithful step together as a church into becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. I was thinking there's a third part, not to belabor this very sort of, if you're in business and marketing and sales, this mission, vision kind of concept, but often what accompanies these two components of a business is a purpose statement as well, is usually tucked in there. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what, not to belabor this, but I think that's a really important component. Because you can say, hey, here's our vision. We want to become disciples. And here's the missional steps that we're going to take, taking our next step. But I think at the end of the day, we kind of have to answer this question, why? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose of all of this? Is this just because this is what the pastors say we're supposed to do? Is this because it's written somewhere in this ancient book that we follow and abide by? Or is there some greater purpose to what we're doing and why Pastor Arlene and I are so passionate about this? Why discipleship? Why is this such a big deal? And I think if I were to think about what that purpose statement might be, for me it centers around the way that you individually and we as a church corporately are going to experience the fullest abundance of God's grace and God's blessing in our lives. Discipleship is the pathway to experiencing true blessing and true abundance in our lives. It's different. There's a difference between being in church and being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's different. There's a difference between just showing up on Sunday morning and ultimately making those intentional next steps towards becoming a deeply committed follower of Jesus Christ. There's a difference between being in the church and in Christ. And so as I thought about that, it's the folks that are willing to surrender all that results in meaningful transformation. It's those of us who are willing to say, God, I give you all that I am, all of who I am. I invite you into my life in every aspect of my life. That's the kind of life that starts to receive the true blessings, the fruits of the Spirit that we talk about. Love and joy, real joy, not surface happiness that comes and goes depending on what the day looks like, but true deep joy, a sense of contentment, a sense of peace in the midst of life's ups and downs, a sense of patience, even though for me at least, I struggle being impatient so often, a sense of self-control in life, an ability to resist temptation and live into who God's calling me to be. These are the fruits of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit, knowledge and wisdom, confidence and faith. These are all of the abundant blessings that God desires for each one of us. These are the blessings that God wants us to live into, the life that God has intended for each one of us. But I think so often so many of us fall short of that. And I think the reason for that is because we fall short of really becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. So for me, the purpose, the reason that we are so passionate about this is because Pastor Arlene and I want to see each and every one of you live into that fullness that we've experienced, and many of you could give witness to, that fullness and that abundance and that blessing that you've experienced in your life as disciples of Jesus Christ. So there's sort of the vision and the mission and the purpose of why we're doing what we're doing. This morning, I want to close by centering on this last piece, of reaching wider. Reaching wider in love and service for Jesus Christ. I had the opportunity of being on retreat this week, overnight, Tuesday into Wednesday, up near Liberty, Route 15 north of Williamsport, and we stayed in this really quaint sort of retreat house, bed and breakfast. I don't know if you've ever been to it. It's called the Link Hill Inn. And I just had the privilege of spending these 2 days with other pastors in the Williamsport District and our district superintendent, Reverend Troy Howell. And he's just an amazing leader, shares a lot of wisdom from doing ministry for quite a long time and in some very different contexts, and now as the district superintendent, how he's continuing to take his next faithful step. So it was a privilege being with him and being with other pastors. But one of the things that he said this week, the 2 days were really focused on what the conference is calling fresh expressions of faith. How can we come alive again in the church? How can we make our faith alive again? There's a lot of dead churches around the conference. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom about that, but it's just a reality that the conference has named and claimed so that we can then start to reignite a new spark, a new fire of the Holy Spirit within our church as a denomination in the United Methodist Church. And so we talked a lot about what fresh expressions of faith might look like within churches. How could we get churches reaching wider, growing deeper and reaching wider, and celebrating new life together in Jesus Christ? How might we do that? And one of the things that he said that just really sunk in deep for me, and then as I thought about the sermon this morning, I was just like, this is such a God moment because it's just all coming together. He said, service in this concept of reaching wider really starts with how our hearts are breaking for what's breaking God's heart. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Those are actually lyrics of a contemporary Christian song. God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Man, if that's where we find ourselves, that our heart is breaking for the things that are breaking God's heart in our community and in our world, that is going to produce just this incredible movement of God's Spirit in growing deeper and reaching wider in love and service to each other and to our community. And so I want you to think about that. This is the question that he posed to us that just was churning in my heart and in my spirit this week. What's God breaking your heart about? What's your heart breaking over as you think about the needs of our community? What's breaking God's heart as you think about the needs of our community, and how is your heart breaking? How are you joining God with a broken heart, with passion about serving the needs of our community? So think about that. That's a deep question, but I think really if we plummet the depths of what it means to reach wider, in mission, in love, and service to our community and to each other, I think that's where we have to start. What is God's heart breaking over? And how is our heart also breaking over those same things? I think one of the qualities, the characteristics, the virtues that needs to accompany this journey of discipleship as we think about reaching wider specifically is humility. I think the key ingredient of reaching wider is humility. And if you listen to our gospel reading this morning, I don't know that there's a better example of what true humility looks like. We read this story of Jesus, who is our King, our leader, our Savior, the Son of God, God in the flesh, and yet he's the one who sort of leads the way for his disciples in what true humility looks like, stooping low to wash the dirty, sandaled feet of his followers. It's interesting that not long before this, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus' disciples get into an argument that is anything but an example of humility. And I always take comfort in these stories because it reminds me that the disciples weren't perfect, because I struggle with a lot of probably the same things they did as one who's trying to follow Jesus. And when I read these things, I kind of sigh of relief. Even Jesus' disciples, as great as they became, struggled with some of the same things that I find myself struggling with. And so you can read this in different verses, but one is in the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus' disciples, two of them, James and John, two of the inner circle disciples of Jesus, come and say, hey, we want to be great among everyone else. That's kind of in the vernacular what they're getting at. And they say, we want, when you come into your glory, Jesus, when you come, when your kingdom comes and your heavenly kingdom comes, we want to sit at your right and your left, like these two positions of authority and power. And Jesus says, well, first of all, that's really not even mine to grant. But second of all, that's not really who you should be. And of course, the other disciples hear this request that James and John want to sit at Jesus' left and right. And so this sort of little argument, bickering ensues. And Jesus has to step in. And he says this. He says, you are acting like the rest of the world acts. You are acting like the Roman officials, maybe we could even say some of the religious leaders of Jesus' day. You're acting like they're acting. People who try and gain power in order to lord it over other people, to lord their power in authority, in their privilege, in their prestige over others. That's how you're acting. And then he says, but you're my disciples, you're my followers. Not so with you. It should not be so with you. I'm calling you to act differently. And then he says these famous lines that we know. Whoever among you wants to be great must be least of all or slave of all. The word there in the Greek is doulos, which translates either servant or probably more accurately slave, which I think really starts to hit home for me when Jesus says, if you want to be great, you must become slave of all, slave of others. And so it's sort of this radical reorienting of the way that they view their lives as followers of Jesus, apart from maybe how some things operate in the world and how we might act apart from Jesus' teachings in the help of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so as I think about what it means to reach wider in love, I think it takes an awful lot of humility. An awful lot of humility. Because I know many times the story of Jesus kneeling at his disciples' feet, it's kind of a little offensive. And I think Jesus meant for it to be that way. It kind of really stands out and hits me full on in the face as I realize just what he's doing. And then I start to consider, would I do that same thing? Would I be like that? Would I be the one that by example would have that kind of humility, that I would lay down my comfort and my position of authority, whatever position you find yourself in, how much would I be willing to give up or lay aside in order to become a slave or a servant for somebody else? It's a really challenging question, but I hear Jesus' challenging words when I think about what it takes to reach wider. It pushes me out of my comfort zone at times. I know and understand that the call of Jesus is at times going to make me a little uncomfortable, especially as I think about the people that God might call me to serve. You know, we've said that a discipleship is a journey towards Christ-likeness. I mean, that's really the end goal here, the end game, the target that we're shooting for is Christ-likeness. But that's a big question. That's a broad statement. What is Christ-likeness? What does Christ-likeness entail? Well, there's a lot of things that Christ-likeness entails, but one of them surely is to be a humble servant like Jesus. And so then I think, well, I wonder what that would look like. I wonder what it would look like for us to model Jesus' version of humble servitude. I wonder what it would look like to model Jesus' version of humility. And as I think about that, I think that probably it means that I give up some control that I struggle giving up and go out and serve people that maybe I don't normally associate with. It might mean that I serve people who have made poor decisions in life. Yep. Being humble like Christ might mean I serve people who have made some poor financial decisions. I wonder what else it would look like for me to model Jesus' version of humble servitude. I believe it would mean that I would love the poor, the addicted, the scandalous, and the foreigner as much as I love myself. I think it would mean that instead of being quick to throw stones, that I would serve the sinner. I think it would probably mean that instead of quarreling over which church or which denomination is the most correct or is God's favorite, we would embrace our differences. And I know it would mean that we would dismiss our need for recognition and instead choose the lowest seat at the table. These are challenging ways of being a Christ follower. These are challenging ways of being the church. But friends, as I think about the life of Jesus, I think this is the way of Jesus. This is what it looks like to be Christ-like. I think so often when I think about following Jesus, really what I want is Jesus to follow me. I say that I'm following Jesus, but really what I want is me following me. But that's not discipleship. Discipleship is me following in the footsteps of Jesus. And I know, at least for me, and I know I'm probably the only one in this room, but I know for me that means an upending of a lot of the ways that I naturally am and a lot of the ways that I would naturally be otherwise. And so I find myself often praying for the help of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me into becoming who Christ is calling me to be. I realize that to become Christ-like is a tall order, one that I cannot achieve simply on my own, but that I need the help and the strength of the Holy Spirit inside of me. So I want to encourage you and maybe even a little bit challenge you this morning with that thought. Maybe your next faithful step is starting to get your hands dirty. Maybe for you, your next faithful step is to go beyond simply consuming something here, but also being a giver of yourself. Someone who reaches wider with what you have received here in this place. To be a steward, if you will, a steward of the grace that God has freely lavished upon you. And take that and respond to it as you reach wider with the love of Jesus Christ. I want to end with a video here. I took this on my phone the one day because I wasn't sure when I would actually get an opportunity to use this. It was kind of like a God moment. I walked in, and you're going to see what I saw when I walked in one day back in December. To my office, and I was moved, and I threw open my phone and shot this and just thought, well, I just believe God's going to use this at some point. I wasn't sure how long that was going to be, and as I think about our sermon this morning, and as I think about this story of Jesus being this humble servant and responding to that, I think this video, for me, really captures how this church is already in ways doing that. And so I want this to be a celebration. I've challenged you, hopefully, a little bit this morning, but I also want this morning to recognize, I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize and also celebrate some of the ways that we are reaching wider and changing lives.
This year. Check out all these bags. This is the Touch the Heart collection that we did, the Tour of the Truths for seniors and gifts for kids. And I just came in, and this is what I see as I make my way to the office. Just bags and bags. They sorted them. All of the gifts that you all went out of your way to get to help make someone's Christmas special this year. It's like all the way up to my office door and then down the hall. And then someone else is like, well, you gotta go check the gym out. So I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, there's more in there. So I go to the gym and get the light and check this out. It just keeps going. I mean, this is just so amazing. All the way down to the end and around that wall. So as your pastor, I just wanted to say thank you for answering God's call to be the hands and feet of Jesus this holiday season here in Muncie. God bless.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? It's pretty exciting to see that. And as a pastor, and I know Pastor Arlene would second this, that to walk in and see that, it's just like there's no more rewarding thing than to see a church responding to who God's calling us to be. And I know part of that too was the community, the way that we have also gotten the community on board with this Touch of Heart ministry. And so I just want to to thank you and to celebrate that. I want to end just with this first reading again. Just let this sink in to your hearts this morning. John read this, and I just want to read it again for you as our closing part of this sermon. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever.